Hi, I'm Victoria Hefty, and welcome to Activate Purpose, where I talk about finding purpose through action while balancing motherhood and career. In today's episode, I'll share why a recent comment from a peer made me completely rethink a lie I've been telling myself, and perhaps more broadly challenge a single story that I've also been telling myself. Listen as I contemplate whether calling myself risk-averse or even a risk-averse risk-taker may be preventing me from seeing the truth, which is that I'm actually quite courageous. And if I am courageous, why does saying that out loud make me feel so uncomfortable? Hello, hello. It is a rainy day here in Ottawa, but I am excited to be here with you this evening. This is one of those real-time episodes that just came to me a couple of hours ago, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but let's dive right in. I am taking a sip, unfortunately, this time of water. As many of you know, this is sort of my treat to myself. So I always have like a glass of champagne or wine when I'm recording. But for Lent, I gave up all alcohol. And so I'm sort of waiting until next week to enjoy and celebrate the right way. But it's been a good break. And again, the water will satisfy for now. Kind of reminds me when I'm pregnant, so it's bringing back a lot of memories. But back to the show. So let's start with this past Friday. So I woke up and I really felt compelled to record a LinkedIn video because I've been really trying to sort of push myself out of my comfort zone. And, you know, just like how, at least for me, publishing a blog for the first time is scary, publishing a video on LinkedIn in front of my colleagues, my peers, you know, my business school classmates that I respect, it's also pretty scary. But whenever I get a tiny voice to do something, I try and follow it. You know, I always laugh because Oprah, she calls these, you know, God's whispers. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. But even if you're not religious, you know what I mean. It's like that little voice that hopefully is encouraging you to try something new. And most of the time you're kind of uncertain or we don't really listen to it. But I'm learning that when I do, I either one, I always feel better, or two, even if it's not immediate, something wonderful comes from it. And maybe it's just like overcoming the fear. But I have learned to sort of listen to that inner voice, even when I'm kind of annoyed by it and I don't really want to do it. So anyway, the day came, I had this voice. So I just recorded the video. I didn't upload it till later, but I posted it. And in the video, I explained, you know, I was terrified, but it was worth saying thank you to a few people who had really helped me build out a potential list of guests for my new podcast coming up, which is called Post MBA Pivot. And so on that post, someone commented and said, "I'll never forget how you volunteered to do a case interview in public back at Chicago Booth, where I went to business school. I see you have maintained and built on that courage. Best of luck." So this comment really threw me off a little bit because, one, I don't know how, but I had completely forgotten about that incident from 10 years ago. So it was sort of this, you know, when you're in business school, you're preparing for the big interview season. And as part of that, you could volunteer to sort of do an actual case interview in live in front of like all of your peers. And apparently I volunteered to do that. But as soon as the person said that, I was like, oh yeah, like why in the world did I offer to do that? That's insane. But I did. And I guess the part of the comment, it was really the latter half that also threw me off. When this person said, "I see you have maintained and built on that courage." And I couldn't put my finger on why I was thinking about this comment that day and even this morning until it sort of hit me. I mean, I stopped. I think it was in the kitchen. I stopped and literally said to myself in my head, I said, "Wait, Victoria, why do you keep on insisting that you are risk averse? This is simply just not true." So I'm having this like inner dialogue exchange with myself, and I'm thinking back to how I even when I met my husband and we were dating, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty risk averse. And now I've sort of expanded on that narrative by saying I'm the most risk averse risk taker, because some of my actions, I guess, weren't aligning with saying I'm a risk taker. But in my mind, I still very much was. I just tried to, you know, be strategic about the risk taking. But then this morning, I was really starting to question even that. Again, I was like, why am I still so insistent on saying I'm a risk averse? And then I thought about the wonderful acclaimed writer, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and her mesmerizing and really popular TED Talk. So even if you don't know this is her, it is, but it's The Danger of the Single Story. So I'll include a link in the show notes, and I certainly can't do it justice here. But I will say one of the key points of the talk is that having a single story creates stereotypes. And the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue, but that they are incomplete. They make one story become the only story. And again, you should watch it because she expands on that. But when I reflected on this, telling myself this single story of being a risk-averse person is not only mostly untrue, it's actually incomplete. What if I'm actually, I don't know, fearless or brave or even courageous? And I know these all are synonyms, but I'm very, like, I like doing research, and, you know, the good old dictionary is there for a reason. And so I started looking at the different definitions online, and then I came across this article that I found helpful by Brett Warshaw. And the article says, the difference between the three came up with the following. Actually, it's the difference between two, courage and bravery. So I'm going to read the article. It's not that long, but I think it's worth reading. So the author of this article says, and I quote, "There are small but worthy distinctions between courage and bravery, and they're often left unsaid. So bravery is the ability to confront something painful or difficult or dangerous without any fear. It's a quality, not a state of mind. Bravery doesn't need a cause to awaken it. Someone is brave, full stop. To the person who has it, bravery is effortless. It's eating a caterpillar on the playground because a friend dares you to without a second thought. It's jumping from the highest diving board without any hesitation. Courage, on the other hand, is the ability to confront something painful or difficult or dangerous despite any fear. Courage is not a quality, but a choice. A person feels the fear or pain or danger, but chooses to persevere anyway. Unlike bravery, courage is driven by a cause. The courageous person believes that cause is worth standing up for and fighting for, despite all the clear reasons not to. Courage takes great effort because what's on the other end merits it." And then I thought this was actually helpful. The writer goes on to say, and I quote, "These differences can be traced back to the etymology of the words. The root word for bravery is the Italian word bravo, which means bold, but also meant wild savage. The root word for courage, however, is cœur, or cœur, the French word for heart. So if you don't consider yourself brave, don't despair. When a cause is worthy enough, when you have something worth fighting for, that's where courage steps in. Courage isn't something you need to already have. It's something you can find." And so I'm reading this article, and this is sort of when, like, I don't know, like the veil sort of lifted, you know, the clouds parted. And I realized that I'm actually courageous. And don't get me wrong, maybe it's not in every facet of my life. Definitely not at all moments in time or all moments throughout my life, but I'm certainly more courageous than I give myself credit for. So then I decided to write down a list of courageous things that I've done professionally or that are somewhat professionally related. And so I'm going to go ahead and share some of them with you. So let me grab my notes. And I really did this, like, no lie, just a couple of hours ago. So this is, again, all very real time. So this is somewhat in chronological order, but we'll see. So the first thing I wrote was arriving for my internship in New York City when I first worked at Lehman Brothers. So I was a junior and I had, I knew the internship was in New York City, and my mom, an immigrant from Kenya, had gone to Columbia University. That was like literally her first stop from Kenya to, you know, JFK Airport and Columbia. So she went to Columbia Teachers College. And I remember my mom dropping me off at the campus at Columbia, where I also happened to be staying because that's where the internship housing was. And she just drove off. And I remember feeling so scared, but I, without any directions, I've sort of got on the subway to like go run errands and sort of, you know, get my, all the stuff that I felt I needed for my internship. And I sort of like threw myself in. And this was before, you know, there was like Google Maps and all of that stuff. So I was sort of winging it. But looking back, like, you know, that was a pretty courageous thing. Now, yes, I feel like I had to do it, but then I also think that a lot of people perhaps wouldn't have, and it is a big, intimidating city. And my mom was, you know, a bit not overprotective, but definitely protective. So I was not the type of, you know, kid that had ever just been in a major city by myself. And so here I was, and it was like, figure it out. I gotta go. So that happened. So I wrote that down. And then the second thing was remembering that. As I was going to leave, you know, my banking job, once I realized I did not want to be in investment banking at all. Like, I just did not like the role. I didn't like anything about it. But I waited until I got my bonus. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to go to St. Thomas and become a bartender, because that sounds, you know, that sounds better than this. And I remember a colleague saying to me, kind of like, I don't know, he was definitely looking down at me, and he was a bit disgusted. And he's like, so wait, you're going to like serve people drinks? Like, why would you want to do that? And I couldn't explain it. But honestly, I just knew that that even sounded better, again, 1,000 times better than what I was doing. And I didn't let other people's opinions like get to me. And maybe that's like youth and being naive. But in my mind, I had no problem going from this, you know, proper financial analyst to a bartender on a beach. I just didn't value status like that. Maybe because I was young and I didn't even quite know. Just a couple of years ago, I had been a college student with zero status. So to me, there was like no harm done. So another thing I thought was courageous was after I was in St. Thomas, my original plan was I was going to move to Philadelphia, and I was going to meet up with my boyfriend at the time, who was also in Philadelphia. But as life would have it, boyfriend never showed up. I was completely, you know, just didn't show up. It was pretty devastating. But now I am literally in Philly. I have no job. I have a lead because someone had told me, you know, when I was a bartender, you should check out healthcare. Your background would be really valued. But outside of that, it, like, I didn't have any clear leads, but I was in the city. And so I had to figure it out because I refused to go back home, you know, like head down in shame. And so then I went online, but I found out that there was going to be a local health fair, healthcare fair, as life would have it. So I got ready. I luckily had like a couple of bags, and one of them had my suit. I had to like quickly go to the store to get like an undershirt. And then I laid everything out, woke up super early the next morning. I was about to hail a taxi, and I walked out, and I was like, there's no taxis. That's odd. And so I started calling, and no one was picking up. And then I finally asked someone, because I was starting to get nervous, like, where are all the taxis? And I swear, someone told me there's actually a strike today. There's no taxis. So the taxi association, or whatever you call them, were having a strike. So there was literally, and I didn't have a car. So I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I had to act fast. I took, I figured, okay, new city, but I'll figure it out. I knew that this particular hotel where this fair was near the airport. So I decided to take the train to the airport. And then I took a shuttle bus to the hotel, because again, I figured that even though taxis weren't running, people that flew into the airport and were staying at these hotels, the hotel was responsible. So I just hitched on the shuttle bus as if I was like a guest there. And it took me to there, and the fare was almost ending because, again, by this point, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I had to navigate like all the trains and everything else. And it was basically the end of the fare, but I refused to give up. I went to the very end, like at the end of the hallway, and there was the company that I ended up working for. I like put on my best face. I didn't mention any of the difficulties or the drama of the day, just introduced myself and was confident. And they pretty much hired me on the spot. So that was like really wonderful. And that started off my career in Philadelphia. Again, looking back, I could have just been like, I can't do this, but I was obviously fearful. I was really upset. I had this relationship just end, and I was still processing that, but I just sort of powered on. And I like to think that I'm going to put that under the category of courageous. Another one that you guys might find interesting, since we're talking about interviews, is so my husband, about, was it almost 6-7 years ago, he had an interview in Melbourne, Australia. And so we went and we took like the week off to go and see what it would be like to live in Australia. And about an hour before his interview, so we'd gotten up in the morning, it was Monday morning, he was, you know, getting ready, we were sort of doing our prep and all of that. And he goes, oh no, oh no. And I'm trying to figure out what is wrong. And he's like, oh no, this can't be right. This can't be right. It turns out, with all that packing and who knows excitement, and I let him do his own thing. I wasn't going to like, you know, micromanage that. It turns out he forgot to bring a white shirt or any shirt. He had no dress shirt for, he had a suit, he had his belt, he had shoes, pants. The man had no shirt. He had literally nothing that we could even like pretend was a shirt. And it was Monday morning. There was nothing open. And it was, we were still new to the city. We had just arrived like the day before. No, it was like, yeah, we just arrived the day before, like early. And so there was jet lag and everything. But I did remember the day before we had done a little bit of exploring downtown. So I was like, Carl, because I was like, okay, we can't both freak out. I was like, I'll figure it out. So I remember just like, you stay here and just get ready. Just trust me. And I left. So I left. I found a tram which took us into the city. And again, I was sort of going off of pure memory, off of like glancing around the city. I was like, I think there was a mall right there. And this makes me think I did not have my phone at the time, or I didn't have, again, maybe I didn't even have data coverage because we had just arrived. So I just know that it wasn't as simple as like just Googling a location. So I got on the tram and I tried to like use my memory of landmarks or whatever to figure out where a store was. I found a store and I literally like banged on the window and begged for someone to open the store. And it was a men's store. And I went in and I had my husband write out his measurements, and they literally had like 1 or 2 white shirts left that had this. I got the shirt, I like ran out, and luckily by this time, they had cabs working that day. So I grabbed a driver and I was like, can you take me back to, and I read the name of the sort of Airbnb that we were staying at. And as life would have it, this taxi driver, it was his first day being a taxi driver. So he had no idea what I was talking about, and I had no other way of telling him like where this was, because I was brand new to the city as well. And I remember saying like, Victoria, don't freak out, don't freak out. And so I was like, okay, I do remember landmarks. There was this church and like these tall trees, and this is how I'm explaining it to him. And we magically found our way. He was gracious because I wasn't like yelling at him, and I was like just trying to do like breathing exercises. And I made it to the place. I like threw the shirt at Carl, and he went in and got the interview and actually got the offer. So all was well. But, you know, looking back, we still sort of look back in that in awe, like, how did I do that? Obviously, Australia is, you know, it's not at least we can speak the same language. But again, it was a city. Melbourne is a proper city. And I just, I was just there for the first time. And I sort of navigated that. And even though I was worried I was going to get lost, you know, my card wasn't going to work, any of that, I just forged right ahead and didn't have time to sort of second guess myself, or I didn't have time to not act. I just felt like, I like how the woman says it, like the end was so important that I just sort of went right and did it. So I'm going to put that there. And then I think the other ones are some of the ones that if you've been listening for a while, you are aware of, but at the time were really big. So, you know, when I had my pregnancy website, publishing just my first personal blog was a big deal for me. I'm someone that, you know, at the time, and I still am, relatively private. I share this with you, but I'm not someone that is like hugely over social media or anything like that. So even just publishing my first blog article was big. And then publishing my article where I actually mentioned that I resigned, not to mention resigning from my role because I felt like I was compromising who I was in that role. And even though I had to worry about getting my bonus or everything, like, you know, all the stuff that I thought mattered, I pushed that all to the side and said, ultimately, I need to just resign today and let everything else work itself out. Because I knew that I was going to compromise who I was if I stayed there. So leaving, I think resigning was courageous without having a clear sort of path next. And then writing my book. So when I wrote Insider's Guide to Maternity Leave, again, at the time, I wasn't a writer. People didn't know that that was something I did. So to announce that I'd sort of written this book in 3 months that I was passionate about was a bit of a risk. You know, you just don't know how people are going to feel or think. And so I think doing that and sort of putting myself out there was quite courageous, especially because it didn't really fit into any other aspect of my life. I think the more recent ones, for example, I'm just going to give a few more, is one, taking projects when I was an independent consultant or roles perhaps that were like paid way less, but that was by choice. And I remember the courageous thing here was I figured that I had made a nice six-figure salary once. And if I was patient and really trusted myself, really trusted God, it would work out. And it has. And so I think having the courage to make choices where, again, the outcome is not clear, but you know in your heart. That's why I like the core, right? Because it reminds me of the that's a good way to remember courage. If you know in your heart it's the right decision, so you're still going to do it despite everything else, really stuck with me. And then I think one other thing was that, honestly, I've been one of those people that I've never been to ashamed to say that, you know, if I had to start from scratch tomorrow, I would be okay with that. I'm not one of those people that says I would never do that because then I would have to start from scratch. To me, a clean slate is like freeing as opposed to making something like, you know, ugly look pretty. I always think that my philosophy is that time is going to pass anyway. So why not, like, you know, live that time with some intention and use it wisely. And so, again, I think for me, I could go on and on, especially as I was writing these. They started to come more and more freely, but I found this exercise extremely powerful because I honestly think it's going to transform how I view myself. It's also got me questioning why saying I'm courageous, I think, makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't know, maybe if you're listening to this, it kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. Is it because it's one of those traits that's only acceptable to be on sort of the receiving end of, but not to claim for ourselves? Is it because I think women in general are not really taught to be courageous? Is it because it feels like, I don't know, like I'm somehow bragging or we're somehow bragging? You know, maybe it's all of these things. But I do know that as soon as I flipped the question around and said, what would a courageous Victoria do right now? All of these thoughts came to me. And actually one of them involved writing a kind of uncomfortable but I thought a necessary note to someone. So I'd been holding back my thoughts on a particular situation, but as soon as I thought of myself as courageous, I pushed through that and I wrote that message and I sent it without even like hesitation. And honestly, that was like about 20 minutes ago. So this, again, all real time. I'll let you know what happens from that, but I have to say that this was a really important lesson for me that will likely affect how I show up for myself and how I show up in other spaces. I'm really excited to see where this goes, and I look forward to, again, keeping you updated on sort of this new revelation that maybe I'm just late to the game to, but that is really affecting me on this lovely Sunday evening. So my challenge for you today is, what is something you constantly tell yourself that you are, but maybe isn't at all true? Perhaps you tell yourself you're shy, but if you were to write down all the moments that you've been courageous enough to overcome that shyness, it'll probably become clear that you really aren't as shy as you think. Perhaps you too are, you know, bordering on the edge of having a single story, and you should be aware of the danger of that. As always, thank you for allowing me to spend time with you. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, you can email me at victoria@activatepurpose.com. Finally, if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to leave a review and subscribe to the next episode.
Until next time, bye.